Hell's Forbidden Secrets Unveiled. That's what we're doing this week. Shatter's live broadcast. Hey, take a listen to this. The Inferno, Dante's Inferno. Here's what it says, quote, "Enormous herds of naked souls I saw, lamenting, till their eyes were burned of tears. They seemed condemned by an unequal law. For some were stretched sublime upon the ground. Some squatted with their arms about themselves. Others paused, roamed around and around. Most numerous were those that roamed the plain. Far fewer were the souls that stretched on the sand, but moved to louder cries by greater pain. And over all that sand on which they lay, or crouched or roamed, great flakes of flame fell slowly, as snow falls in the Alps on a windless day." The Inferno, Dante's Inferno. How about John Milton's Paradise Lost, Satan's first impression of hell? Quote, "At once, as far as angels can, he views the dismal situation, waste and wild, a dungeon horrible on all sides around. As one great furnace flamed, yet from those flames no light, but rather darkness visible, served only to discover sights of woe. Regions of sorrow, doleful shades, where peace and rest can never dwell, hope never comes, that comes to all, but torture without end still urges, and a fiery deluge fed with ever-burning sulfur unconsumed. Such place eternal justice had prepared for those rebellious. Here their prison ordained in utter darkness, and their portion set, as far removed from God and light of heaven, as far the center thrice to the utmost pole. Oh, how unlike the place from which they fell." Whether it's Dante, whether it's Milton, whether it's the Siberian sounds, you know, I don't believe the sounds coming out of the sounds of hell from Siberia. I don't believe it was real, of course. We used it as a discussionary point at the beginning of the week. But there are sounds there. There's discussion there. There's talking there. There's living there. It is a place of darkness, mist. The biblical revelation, as you look at all of it, all of what it says about Gehenna, all of what it says about hell, all of what it says about Tartaru, all of what it says about Hades. And I think that the medieval, I don't know if you've looked at lately, the medieval versions of it all, and seeing how they've shown demons with pitchforks, you know, poking people, and all the things that were going on. Biblical revelation doesn't say that it's the demons that torture, that it's Satan going around poking out eyeballs. There's all kinds of speculation. Even Dante, even Milton, there's all kinds of the speculation on the side of this. We've said already from the beginning of this week, it's a place of containment. It's a huge place, a place where there is torment, where there is agony, where there is clear living consciousness. If you're new to this broadcast, this is Russ Dizdar, Shatter the Darkness, live broadcast here on a Thursday night now, the 7th of July, 2011. Glad you're here. Glad all of you who listen from satellite, from internet, and from the archives. Well, I just know one thing. God can engage you. And may the grace of God, may the love of God, may the clear, pure truth of the revelation of God, given by the Spirit of God, given by the living Christ, come to you. If you're not saved, yeah, I want you to get saved. No question about that. Whether you're military, government, whether you are monitoring the show, listen, Luciferian and Satanist listening, got some angry atheists and others that also listen, some of the sub-warriors, the troops of AC. Well, let me tell you this. May God in an extraordinary way visit you. And around the world, in Russia and in South Africa and in Seoul, Korea now, and there in Mumbai and around the world, may God, and I ask all the believers listening, join in prayer. May God with extraordinary miracle and great power, stretch out his hand to save, to heal, to deliver, to minister to your life. I know that he can heal you. I know that he can raise you up. I know that he can give you a word today. But I also know that this might be a divine appointment, a very providential moment, that this 1 hour for those listening that you're questing, you're seeking, you're looking, maybe you're grabbing on to some finite and, demon. Well, I mean, the demons that have given all kinds of spiritual experience, spiritual doctrine, all kinds of stuff's out there. From the ancient past to the early churches dealing with the Nicolaitans and the Gnostics, the ascetics, the Cerinthians, to this very day, the largest counterfeit alternative spiritual movement in the history of the church, the New Age movement. Probably hundreds of millions now worldwide. Now, in the context of that, I get an email today, and I appreciate the email. And again, I won't say names out loud of individuals unless I had expressed, approval and the reasons for it. But it just says here, I've copied and pasted a text from the following webpage. I've highlighted certain text. Now, what they've done, what this dear individual has done, and they're saying they're thankful for the ministry. They're thankful. It says, God is faithful, Russ. He is answering your prayers to send more laborers. Wow, I'm glad to hear this today. I'm glad to hear from those of you who've gotten saved, those of you who've gotten out of the occult, those of you who've left, counterfeit spirituality and you've turned back, those who've wandered and turned back. I'm so glad. It's an enormous joy to know God's working. See, God wills the salvation of humankind. God desires, pos anthropos, Timothy 2, that all humanity would be saved and turn, and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now that's God's will. And God's will is for all believers, take up the cross, follow Christ. And let me say this, in a day and an hour when we are in the broadest ramping up of dark side deception, dark side seduction, dark side doctrines, dark side counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles. In a day in which all of that is on the field, and we haven't seen anything yet, it's going to be unbelievable as we get closer and closer to the great chaos and the rise of Antichrist and the false prophet. Unbelievable. But you know what? Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. And there won't be 1 ounce of the grace and the power and the might and the glory of God diminishing in any way. So when you hear those words, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, please understand that's exactly what we're talking about, exactly what we mean. That someone downloading, this is how miraculous it can be, someone downloading a session we've done 2 years ago, listening in another nation, thousands and thousands of miles away, we're talking almost 2 years later, and they listen to one of the archive messages where the gospel's presented, and they turn to Christ. Let me tell you something about God's word won't return void. God's word never going to fail. And God's passionate desire. So as we enter in to our fourth night, this Thursday, July 7th, this is the title for tonight is The Why and When Jesus. He deals with hell as no one else has. So since Sumer and the Akkadians, and as we already said Monday, all around the world, there's been a clear, deep, broad belief in a containment place, in a hell-like place, a Hades, a judgment place. So here comes Jesus to give the define it, to give a definitive look at it, and who's going to be there, who's not, those kind of things. So we're going to deal with that tonight. But in the context of that, this email that I got in, they're quoting Dr. Gary Swartz, PhD. Now, he is from, and we've mentioned him earlier on, University of Arizona, where, you know, he's a professor of psychology, medicine, neurology, psychiatry, and surgery. Now, the issue about psychology and medicines now, you got to realize New Age spirit revelation, that has really entrenched itself into psychology and into medicines now, too. He works in the Laboratory for Advances in Consciousness and Health. And he has done some books and materials like this, The Afterlife Experiments, The God Experiments, The Truth About Mediums, and The Living Energy Universe. Now, again, we're dealing with somebody, here we got a PhD, professor, involved in psychology, neurology, psychiatry, etc. Let me just say this, he's also the one that is kicked off what is called the Sophia Project. And the whole issue is to get quite a few individuals together and through their testing and experimentation to see their engagement with non-human entities. And we've been kind of looking at that over the last year. And here's what this individual has sent me, and they marked out in yellow for me. Here's what Dr. Gary Swartz, PhD, from the University of Arizona, where he's leading a number of people in a big, massive, supposed to be scientific study about other entities. Here's what he says, quote, that it reveals the tangible commitment that the spirit world has made to partner with each and every human being to solve our personal and societal problems. He's suggesting proof of the possibility that spirit is real. And again, here's this quest, and there is a massive quest in science to engage spirit and to combine, to bring them together, that even the newest developments in quantum physics and theory and so forth is now being used by many in the realm of spirituality that comes from the dark side spirits, the energies and the presence that they have around the world. Now, that's all being combined. There's clearly, this is again evidence of what the ascended master who fused with Alice Bailey back in 1937. She eventually authored over 20 volumes of writings. They were dictated. They were given by non-human intelligence. That is an ascended master, if you want to call it that. I would say that it was a cosmocrator or archai, as the Spirit of God reveals. Now, this entity not only showed her the progressive evolutionary sequential development of the Luciferic agenda, including the coming of the Antichrist they call the world teacher, but also how to approach the church and kind of spiritually compromise it, use its language but change the meaning, all the rest. A lot of things are revealed in the agenda, but part of the agenda also was to bridge the gap. The prediction of the demonic presence was that there would be a bridging of the gap between science and spirit. The veil would eventually be brought down, and that the concept of technology science would fuse or be wide open or be combined with spirituality. Now, there's a reason for that. And there's a reason for the dark side spiritually wanting to give everything they can to to bring about the possibility of technologies, which I mentioned last week in that Dark Technologies series. The Mark of the Beast, the Image of the Beast, all that's going to be used in Armageddon. It's obviously inspired from someone somewhere, and I believe from the dark side. So appreciate that article again, and a heads up on the Sophia Project and engaging people with other entities, kind of like what the NSA and others have done in launching out into the dark, engaging real entities And all they have is the entities to tell them, well, who they are and what they are, unaided by the Spirit of God, unaided by the hand of God, because that side, well, it is the source, origin, and they are the masters of deception. They can metaskizmazotai, that's the Greek word, transfigure. They can change their appearance by whatever they perceive is needed to convince. And the goal, biblically speaking, steal the word of God so you can't be saved. The goal, use you to help further the Luciferic Antichrist agenda, ultimately. And I'm sure there are many of you that don't want to do that. We're going to jump into the story tonight that we have done this week. And I know that it's caused a lot on Facebook and other emails that have come. Pretty interesting, isn't it, to dig in deep and see a little bit more? So we're kind of digging into hell. We're kind of, you know what somebody said to me before I went on live tonight? I mean, say they actually said to me, give them hell tonight, Russ. I understand the phrase. That's not what I'm coming to give you. If anything, I want to give them heaven. Give them grace. Give them mercy. See, I stand in able to speak, knowing the will of God, the joy-filled, packed, passionate will of God, and that His desire is not one human being to perish. And this is vital in the context of our discussion. God has made a way. God has made a glorious way, and it is the highest revelation of God in fallen human history. And outside of His coming again, and when it's all over, there is no new proclamation of anything new down the road. Now, tomorrow on Friday, we're going to hit head on with annihilationism or conditional immortality. We're going to deal with the subject of the Gnostics and others, and some today might be persuaded because of some emotional, cultural sense. Oh God, surely the God of love, God would never send anybody to hell. On the other hand, God would never let it be eternal. The big issue, that God would not allow it to be eternal. Well, I've got some things to share with you tonight, and part of that begins in, the Gospels. And we're going to talk about Hades, talk about hell, talk about Gehenna in the context of how Jesus spoke. Let me say one thing. Let me remind you again. Future Congress in a couple of weeks, Branson, Missouri. For believers in Christ, I'm giving you the alert right now. Unleash. Please do. Please. Great prayer warriors. Listen to the Spirit of God. Unleash massive prayer over that conference now and during the time. We'll keep asking that all the way up to the conference and in the conference when we report to you live from that conference. And I just found out from the email that I think I've got from Berlin, Germany, the two individuals, it looks like they're coming to the conference from what they've said. I've got to email them back and let them know I've got their notes, and we're going to do some fellowship, hopefully with some folks from Berlin, Germany coming. Well, tonight as we talk about 3 points, primarily we're going to get to, 4 that's on the page. If you're new, this is Russ Dizdar. The website behind all of this, shatterthedarkness.net, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. There you're going to find the outline for the week, the broadcast quick notes if you want those. There's a 11-minute overview of the entire week. And Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can get the archives of those shows in the archives. And we appreciate you, many of you all over that do that. Well, welcome again. And I'm looking at a word in Matthew 11:23. Jesus says, quote, "And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens?" Question mark. No, Jesus says. No. You will go down to Hades. Interesting, isn't it? I mean, Jesus is able to say that about an entire city. He goes on to say, "For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day." You know, it gives you a little insight too. God does bring down cities like Sodom, Gomorrah, like, and again, I'm going to tell you, the Mayan civilization, the human sacrificing factory of the Aztecs and the Mayans, among the Aztecs alone, one report I read by an archaeologist, 136,000 human skulls on racks of people that they have sacrificed. So God has the right to stop radical evil. If nobody's, I mean, listen, if humanly you can't stop it, and obviously, humanly, it's predicted out of Daniel, nobody's going to stop the Antichrist. Nobody's going to stop the false prophet, not on a human scale. Nobody on a human scale is going to stop the abyss from being opened. Nobody on a human scale is going to stop Armageddon. You've got to understand that radical evil, do you understand the nature of it? Do you understand the depth of it? Do you understand that fallen angels, they are eternal beings? Human beings are eternal, period. There's no temporalness to the human being. We are eternal. We die physically, yes, but we live on one side of the fence or the other. Let me give you another word real quick. In Matthew 25, have you read it? It talks about this, the sheep and the goat, you know, the parable kind of revelation and the revelation of character, the evidences of who serves who. But then Jesus says finally with these words in verse 46, "And these shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life." Now, the interesting thing for all to listen, and especially Gnostics, the same Greek word used for everlasting life, referring to our life in heaven and our living forever, indestructible immortality, is the same word used when we deal with everlasting Colossus, punishment. Everlasting or eternal Colossus, the punishment. Either side of the fence, God doesn't, and we'll tell you why clearly tomorrow, He doesn't, like a bug, stamp out eternal beings. He doesn't nix them. The issue is right now, as human beings, we're lost, we're dead in our sin, we're hell-bound, we're going to see what Jesus says, and without the intervention, eternally, we're eternal beings, we're on one side of the fence or the other. And that's why the cross, that's why the Savior. And that might be the providential reason you're listening. Jesus says in Matthew 16:28, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," is the word, "will not overcome it." A direct revelation of the conflict. The body of Christ, the ecclesia, the church has been launched in this world, engaging and would be engaged with the frontline, full presence power of Hades itself. And we find this throughout the New Testament insight that there is not only Hades, hell, Gehenna, and so forth, but that it seems like there is effect, or at least some sense of character association when we talk about the fire of hell setting the tongue on fire. We'll talk about that in a moment here. Listen, Luke's 10:15. Again, the mention again of Capernaum. No, you will go down to Hades. Now, the big scripture again is where? Luke chapter 16. There's a rich man dressed in purple, fine linen, everything else, luxury every day. There's a beggar, Lazarus, covered with sores. When it came time for the beggar, for all of, you know, both sides, they died. Angels carried the beggar to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried physically. See, there's no soul sleep. Physically, he's buried. Here's what it says in verse 23. Have you read this? In Hades, where he was in torment. I want you to hear something. It's not that God is down there poking people and tormenting people. God's not down in there torturing people. And for anybody to say that or use that as an argument, it simply is absent from the biblical revelation, and right here is clear. Hell, Hades, Gehenna, the very containment place is a place of darkness, of torment, of agony. And it's very clear here, the revelation of it. But not that God's down in there, you know, poking people with a fork, or the demons are. That's not how it is. Again, let's eliminate the false views, even in poets and even when the Russians dig down in the middle of the ground and try to say they've got the sounds. I'm sure it sounds bad. I brought that out Monday. I'm sure it sounds bad. I'm sure that there's discussion. I'm sure that there is roaming around. I'm sure that there is life down there. But it's, in every description, horrific. Now, verse 23, it says this, in Hades, where he, this lost man, where he was in torment. Interesting here is, that's the first part of this. He didn't, listen, his physical body is in the ground until the second resurrection, until the second death. Right there, Revelation 20. That's a future occurrence. But it says in Hades, where he was, and obviously alive, he's in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away. He's able to see the other side. And he also saw Lazarus by his side. He called out to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. You've got some choices. You can sit back and say, well, Jesus didn't mean it. That's just a figure of speech. He doesn't really mean that. Really? Well, then what does he mean? What is the fire of hell all about? What is the concept of Gehenna, where the worm doesn't die, the gnashing of teeth, and the fire is never quenched? The confession of a man in Hades is this. Because I am in agony in this fire. Because I am in agony in this fire. Listen to the words that come back. Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Do you understand locality? Do you understand that beyond the physical life, there are two realms? And the one, it is hell, it is Hades. It is an actual place, and you can't get out, you can't cross over, and it's, as described here, a place of torment, a place of agony, a place of fire. The man in hell, the man in Hades, what does he do? I beg you. He's now begging. He's now begging. What do they do down in hell? What's Hitler been doing all these years? All those that have been there for so long, what do? Here's where it says, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house. If I have five brothers, let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. And again, the description from the man in Hades, place of torment. He's now wanting someone. He doesn't say, change things now. Give me salvation now. Annihilate me now. Let me go to sleep so I won't experience this anymore. No, he's in a place. He's in a locality. And it's pretty obvious to him. So his one attempt is send somebody from the dead to go back and warn the brothers. Interesting thing now here. Abraham replies, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Do you understand how big and vast the word of God, the revelation of God, how powerful, how sufficient? I want to speak to you who've heard the word of God again and again and not responded. Do you think you're going to get a higher revelation? Do you think by rejecting the revelation of God now that you're not culpable, that you're not responsible? You read John's Gospel, chapter 3, someday towards the end. It's very clear that those that believe in the name of the Son of God have eternal life. They have life. They have life in Him, this gift of life God's giving. But those who reject those who reject the wrath of God remains. You're still lost. You're still hellbound. You're still separate from God. Not what God wants. And in Christ on the cross, not what God's providing for. When God gives monogenesis, the one and only God in human flesh on the cross, for the sum total of the world. Here's the highest revelation of God on the face of the earth. Here is the action of God, the mercy of God, the provision of God. What are you going to do with that? Spit on it. I mean, you could check out if you want to Hebrews chapter 10. If you insult the Spirit of grace and you trample the blood of the covenant of Christ, what is left? If you truly, as some say Hitler did, looking at the concept of the Christ on the cross, he was looking at a crucifix, according to one testimony. I don't know if it's true. But he utterly despised Christ and the weakness he thought he saw of Christ on the cross. Look at the outcome of his life. So the story that we have here, we have this very vivid picture of Hades, a man in Hades, a chasm fixed. No one can come from one side to the other. But it's clear here anyway, at this moment, he's able to look up and see. The man in hell, the man in Hades, describes it as a torment, as an agony, and as fire. Now, how do you get rid of that? I mean, it's one thing to say, I reject that. This is not like one of those games where you get all the letters and you can just take the letters and make anything you want out of it. And the revelation that Jesus brings about Hades, about hell, about Gehenna, is consistent all the way along. Now, later on, after the death, after the resurrection, Jesus says these words. Many years later, in engaging John on the Isle of Patmos, for the sake of the writing of the book of Revelation, the appearance of Christ, and he says these words, I am the living one, I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Who holds them? Christ. Christ does. Later on in Revelation 20, which we're going to look at in a moment, we're going to see again Revelation there. We're going to take a look what's there and what's not there. It's very important for us to understand that. As we look into this tonight, I mean, we can also go to the scriptures, and I can take you to Matthew 16, and we can take a look where he talks about Pharisees. I don't know if you've seen that. Matthew 10, 28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The other Gospels, it's the same thing. You know, we're Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If it is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. Get the picture? Mark 9, 47. To be, the same phrase, to be thrown into hell. So Mark's Gospel 9:43, 9:45, 9:47, the concept about being thrown into, going into hell. In 9:43, Jesus continues and says, where the fire never goes out. Drop back to Matthew 23. Dealing with religious, I mean, here's the evidence, okay? He's dealing with religious individuals. Here's what he says about these individuals. I pray to God that that not one listener is in the same field as this. Verse, chapter 23, verse 15. Woe to you teachers of the law and the Pharisees. You, this is Jesus speaking. You hypocrites, you travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a son of hell as you are. Twice as much a son of hell as you are. It's pretty amazing to me. in Luke's version, chapter 12, verse 5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Again and again and again, the words of Christ. And there in Matthew 23, where he's dealing with those that he calls them hypocrites, and those who are already sons of hell, already hellbound, already, you know, as if their lives were fixed because of where they stood, what they believed. If you look at the full revelation of John's gospel, they rejected Christ. They rejected the word of God. Matter of fact, three things are true about those who are for sure going to be in hell. Number one, deep and total rejection of the word of God. Number two, deep and total rejection of Christ and all of who he is. Now listen, New Agers and psychics and Gnostics and others, if you believe, or Jehovah's Witnesses, if you are clinging to a fake, de-deified, occult version of a Christ, he's not your Savior. He will not save you. God saves on the basis of Christ as revealed by the prophets, his coming, his life, his sinlessness. I mean, Thomas knew. He bowed down and cried out, "My Lord and my God," capital G. See, this is the issue. You're not safe clinging to some, you know, either dark spirit, even masqueraded as light, where they give doctrines of demon. And you accept that as some kind of spiritual, well, yeah, I'm spirit. I used to say that before I got saved. I'm a spiritual man. I'm spiritual. I'm into spirituality. Wrong spirits. Wasn't saved. Didn't know God. And once I came to Christ, once the Spirit of God came in, guess what? I've never had to look any longer. 37 years later, only wanting to be deeper. Only wanted to honor him more. Only wanted to reach. And over these years, by God's grace, we've got to reach and lead a few thousands of people to Christ. Many one-on-one, face-to-face. I'll never forget the day I led my grandmother to Christ. I'll never forget the day that I literally led my very arrogant, angry, mean, Christ-rejecting dad. I led him to Christ. After 23 years of praying and waiting. Listen, those who are considered a son of hell, a child of hell, deep rejection of the word of God, deep rejection of Christ for who he really is. And then they cling to an alternative. The Pharisees, they clung to an alternative. You read Romans 10:11 sometime about the Pharisees. They wouldn't submit to God's mercy and grace and God's offer of salvation. They made up their own. Can I ask you something? You can't make up your own. You know, get a bucket of yellow paint sometime, go to the highway, and paint yourself your own line and drive down that line. See where you get. You don't have the right to do that. You know, if you're clinging to man-made or demonic spirits masquerading as light, if you're clinging to any of that stuff, please understand, it has nothing to do with God, nothing to do with his grace or mercy. If you want his grace, if you want his mercy, let me tell you something. Right now, today, it is abundantly, passionately, I mean, full throttle, bikers, full throttle, the grace of God. God's door is open right here, right now. And if you are listening, and by providence, and if you know the Spirit of God is convicting, convincing, and drawing you, go ahead and do it. What are you waiting for? Jesus wants to enter into your life. Jesus wants to save you right now. He wants to bring his full life and the gift of eternal Zoe, life, the life that is going to be part of heaven that involves the great glorification to come. Well, that was evidence. Evidence is based on that. There in Matthew 23, who are those who are like, almost like, I mean, they're almost like, I mean, there's people I see today say, wow, I mean, they're like, this is a son of hell. This is a child of hell. No question about it. when you're standing there in rejection of the revelation of this, of the Word of God, and in Thessalonians 5 it says that if somebody rejects the Word of God, they reject God, they reject the Spirit of God. To reject the Word of God is to reject the Spirit of God. To try to take pieces of the Scripture, change things, twist things, add in demonic doctrine from other writings into it, try to bring all of it as a mixture, try to eliminate things. Let me tell you something. That's what you're doing. You're rejecting the revelation of God. The Spirit of God only witnesses to the revelation of the Word of God. The Spirit of God only operates to convict, draw, and lead individuals to the living Christ, the real Christ, God, absolute God in human flesh. The New Agers, de-deify. The Gnostics, they strip. There's no such thing, listen carefully, there's no such thing as Jesus, Emmanuel, being an approximate representation of God. He is the icon of God. He is the exact representation. Thomas had it right in his confession, my Lord and God, capital G. When Jesus says, I am that I am, this is Yahweh in human flesh. 700 years before he came, dear Gnostic friend. And I say friend as a human being. That I love you and that God loves you. But clinging to a false Christ, Galatians chapter 1, you can be anathema. That it's a horrific thing to accept a fake, de-deified, non-savior Christ while rejecting. And you can never do that unless you reject the real Christ. In the early days, that's what the spirit of Antichrist was all about. There were many, many Antichrists going around. There's one to come. It's not only the opposition to the real Christ, but a replacement. The Gnostics have a replacement. The New Agers have a replacement. The Mormons have a replacement. Jehovah's Witnesses have a replacement. And in every case, de-deified, non-savior. And therefore, there is no experiential confession of the joy of salvation where the Spirit of God comes in and you actually know the living Christ. No. You know what it really is? Even among the Mormons, it's your belief through a fake Jesus, de-deified, and through the spirits that operate through them, that you're going to have some kind of evolution to godhood. Exactly what the fallen cherub taught in the garden. That's the big lie. That's the Luciferic doctrine sweeping the world of the New Age, sweeping the world among 2012ers. Evolution to deity has never occurred. The physics of it, finite into the infinite, not even Satan himself can do that. It's counterfeit to real salvation. It's the counterfeit to real salvation. It is the counterfeit to real salvation. Drop back again to Isaiah chapter 6, 700 years before Emmanuel, God would be in human flesh, before that would occur. And again, the angels of heaven acknowledge God in human flesh in Christ and even worship directly him as God. But 700 years prior, you got to understand, Isaiah saw Yahweh Adonai. In John's gospel, it is said that the angel says that John, or that Isaiah saw Jesus, the eternal Logos. Logos. What am I saying to you in all of this? Anybody presenting a false, de-deified Christ, Jesus, the alienologists are doing it because the alien entities are promoting it. The remote viewers are doing it because from that spiritual domain where the prince of the power of the air operates out of, that's where they're getting their data. And they're saying a de-deified, you know, teacher Jesus. The New Agers, the old occultists, Albert Pike and the Masons, the Gnostics old, the Gnostics new, they all have one thing in common. Dark side spirits, metaschismazotai, masquerading. It's real experience. It's real spiritual revelation. It's real spiritual engagement, but not from God. God's not there, Gnostic. God's not there, New Ager. God's not there, remote viewer. God is not in it, astral projector. But the Spirit of God now speaks to you. The Spirit of God now summons you out of that finite darkness into the living Christ. Into the living Christ. God wants you. God wants to save you. And I'm going to tell you again, for what time we have left here. For what time we have left here. The passionate desire of God. Now, I know there are those that just want to talk about conspiracy issues. I hope that's not done with the idea that, just simply dissociating and washing away any concept of looking in the full face of God. If God is the one that loves you, if God has supplied Christ at the cross as the supreme example, supreme act, I mean, if this is the provision, if what he's done there that involves death, resurrection, ascension, if it is that which brings the destruction of death and the elimination of ever having to go to hell and rips off Satan's legal rights, I don't know. I've listened to Gnostic offers. I've listened to New Age offers. I've listened to the alienologists. I've listened to the remote viewers. I've read Pike. I've looked around. At one time in my life in the late 60s and early 70s, I thought Jesus was cool, like the Doobie Brothers. Jesus is just all right with me. You know, that was the kind of thing. While I was still smoking pot and doing the other stuff, fighting in bars. Yeah, Jesus is just all right with me. I didn't know him. My life was in opposition to him. And I was deeply entrenched in spirituality, deeply entrenched in spirit. And neglecting numerous things, including the Buddhism, it's partial Taoism too. And all the dabbling and all the spiritual experiences and all these stuff and all the astral projection and all the stuff that I was into. Whatever that, that side, that spiritual side, I can tell you wanted to preoccupy me, wanted to distract me, wanted to keep me away. Back in those days, I could easily have said, not having the Spirit of God, not knowing the real living Christ. I could have easily said, oh man, I don't think God would ever create hell. I don't think hell's, but I also knew deep in my heart, and I'm confessing to you right now, if I would have died in 1969, if I would have died in 1973, I would be in hell to this day. I'd be in Hades right now. I'd be like that man. I would understand torment. I would understand darkness. I would understand agony. I would understand the flames. See, I believe the words of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. By the way, the most attested to manuscripts that blows out of the water anything else in its history. The New Testament with over 23,000 manuscripts, pieces, codex, all the rest that support it, coming down to 5,565 primary ones. I mean, even the Gnostics, which was an early church, it was like the New Age movement in the early church days. It's what the Gospel of John in the early formation of the Docetics and Cerinthians, it's what he had to deal with. That's what the book of 1 John's all about. Dealing with those who are making up a de-deified, non-physical Christ. Or a de-deified, just spirit-oriented, or a physical body was there, and the Christ came on the body at baptism, and the Christ left off the body. The body had nothing to do with it. No, see, the fullness of deity was dwelling in bodily form. Read Colossians. Even the book of Colossians grabbed early Gnostic concepts, to deal with them and brought a revelation to show them, no, that it was God in Christ in absolute fullness of deity in bodily form. The resurrection was in bodily form. That's what the glorification is all about. That's the coming indestructible, irreversible immortality. That's what it's all about. And that's what's coming. So when I think again and again and again, And I want you to hear me tonight, because in a lot of the prayers, and sometimes on this show, yes, there is emotion. I've had some Satanist-oriented individuals, when they heard the emotion or the crack in my emotions concerning the lostness of any individual and my desire and my hope that they get saved, well, the Satanist, the hard Satanist was like, they couldn't handle that emotion. I mean, there's Jesus outside of Jerusalem. Here's Yahweh in physical human flesh. Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. He cries out. You want to read a great expression of the emotion of God? You want to read a great expression of the emotion of God? I don't care if you're a Russian military or a meth-infested drug addict right now. God loves you. God can save you and deliver you and give you the gift of eternal life, let alone the power of God for living right now. God can forgive you, deliver you, help you, heal you up, deliver you from the demonic. You got to turn to Him. So sometimes, like A.B. Simpson, I have a dear sister in Christ down in Columbus. She sent me maps of the world and the flags, and these are the things that I have around me. My wife bought me at a flea market, because I've wanted for a long time, a really nice, like a globe with, one of those you have next to your desk that spins around. We get everything from the flea markets and stuff like that. She brings me this incredibly beautiful, I think it would cost like a couple $100s. She got it for like $20. Globe of the world. So you know what I do sometimes? I'm just giving you some personal stuff. I go out into another room where I stand in the sight of God. I raise my arms out to the west and then to the north, then to the east, then to the south. I'm naming countries after countries after countries after countries and individuals. I'm asking God to stretch out His hand to save and to heal and to deliver, because there is a compelling, compassionate love of God. God desires the salvation of every single human being. Nothing is more important. Nothing is bigger, political man or woman. Nothing is bigger than this, wealthy elite. Nothing is bigger than this conspiratorial individual. Nothing is bigger than this. You miss this, it's because you have hardened your heart. You have shut Him out. You have not listened. Won't you listen to the Spirit of God today in pointing you to the real living God in Christ, Savior, that spoke on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." God, what He did at the cross, bigger than hell, bigger than sin, bigger than Satan. But God doesn't make you get saved. God doesn't lasso you, hook you in the jaw, and pull you up there. God doesn't program you. He doesn't de-pattern your personality. This is about you. This is about your choice. And if I was to ask you, do you want heaven or do you want hell? What do you want? I've had people during my ministry for years and years, even on the streets. I've had people say in my face, spit in my face, they want hell. There are those that arrogantly and with sheer ignorance in their arrogance say they want hell. If you really want it, you got it. Torment, agony, fire, eternal. God's not there. But if that's what you really want, what a horrific sadness. God says out of the book of Ezekiel, "I take no pleasure." If you die and go to hell, I'm not going to dance over your grave. God doesn't dance over your grave. God, Yahweh, in human flesh, He wept over Jerusalem. The Christ rejecting, the God rejecting ones in that day. When you read John's Gospel chapter 7, and I hope you do, Jesus is at a great big religious festival where nobody actually knew God. That's what the problem here in the fallen world. You can make up your own religion. You can wear a hat. You can put bells on it. You can wave flags. You can wear a robe. You can cut your hair in a certain way. You can have incense burning. You can paint a cross on your chest. You can wear it in your nose if you want to. But none of that saves you. What do you trust in? In that day, in a religious festival where they didn't know God, Yahweh, human flesh, it says that he stood up, and that he cried out. Can you hear his voice? Can you hear his voice? He cried out. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of their innermost being would flow rivers of living water. Of this he referred to God the Holy Spirit, welling up to eternal life. The gift, it's already in me. The gift of eternal life, the Spirit of God is inside of me. Never left me in 37 years. Here he is. I feel him. He's all over me. I feel him in my speech. When I quote, Jesus cried out. You think there's any less passion of the voice of God today? Listen, this radio program is somewhat like a sermon put into a talk show format. But when I stand behind a pulpit, it is a little different in the way I unleash. Tonight, regardless of your background, who you are, even if you think it's by accident, the bottom line, God doesn't want you to go to hell. God's made provision so you never have to go. God doesn't want even one single human being. But if you're lost, if you're not saved, if you don't know the living Christ, then your sin remains. The judgment of your sin remains. The sin code remains. The death code remains. Hell's rights, or being hell bound, remains. And Satan's rights over you remain. Scrub yourself with psychology. Scrub yourself with philosophy. Scrub yourself with New Age Spiritism. Scrub yourself with old Gnostic occultism. Scrub yourself with a fake de-deified alien psychic rabbit's foot sized Jesus. None of that will save you. None of that will bring the eternal Spirit of God to come and dwell in you, witnessing on the inside. You ever read Romans chapter 8? Here's where I stand. The Spirit of God that dwells in me, the Spirit of sonship, adoption, witnesses that I am a child of God. The Word of God tells me, if I believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean God in human flesh, that Savior. Not a fake. Don't go to a fake. Because you can't get saved with a fake. The Spirit of God can't come into you with a fake. The Spirit of God doesn't use a fake. The gift of eternal life doesn't come through a fake. And that's what the dark side's all about. Offering the fake. Come to Christ. Deliverance in every single way. Write to me if you do. Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. Remember us in your prayers, believers who can. We need you. Remember us in support. Good night.